Today we are continuing in our series called Walking with Him. And this is a two-part of our series that is so critical that this part of our series is going to be done in two parts because the information that you're going to receive today is going to really bless you. I believe after we finish today, you'll never see church the same way again. You'll never see church leaders the same way again. Because when you understand the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that Christianity is not just a group of believers who go around and just love on everybody and there's no logic to what they do. No, no, no. Christianity has set beliefs that are so defined and they are not up for debate. Christianity has doctrine undergirding everything that you see happen. And with that makes sense because then we can know that it's not up to individual interpretation, but there is a way that God wants us to walk with Him. And so we've been going through Hebrews chapter 6. If we can bring up Hebrews 6 in the King James Version, I'll be using that today. In the King James Version, I want to show you what Paul said is our foundation. Can you read with me starting at verse 1? Let's read. Therefore, yes, laying again the foundation of repentance from what? And of? Those are the first two foundational doctrines. Repentance from dead works, then turning and faith towards God. Let's look at the next four. Next verse, please. Of the? Meaning there's more than one. And we learned that there were three baptisms. Next one. Yes. Now watch this. The doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands. That's what we're going to talk about today. What in the world does the Bible mean? There's a doctrine behind laying on of the hands. Did you realize that what we do with our hands as leaders in the house of God makes a difference? It is not good enough for us to simply say, hey, it's great to believe, but we never lay hands on anyone for something that God is waiting for you to receive. How many in here wants all that God has for you? Amen. So then you can never be satisfied in a congregation or around a people that do not believe in the impartation through the laying on of the hands. Now, there's a reason and a doctrine about it that makes a difference. So today, I want us to go into the Word and discover what this literally means. First thing I want you to do is turn to Numbers chapter 27. Starting at verse 18. Because the doctrine of laying on of the hands didn't begin just in the New Testament. It began in the Old Testament. You see, the doctrine of laying on of the hands is a doctrine that God will use a person of authority to bless a person under authority. Let me say that again. God will use a person of authority to bless somebody under authority. So what that means is in the body of believers that there is authority. In our culture today, man, we have a problem with authority. How many know I'm telling you the truth? How many have seen kids in the schools that have just bucked authority because they either don't like authority because of what's happening in the home or they've been around the wrong type of people? How many of you have ever bucked authority? Come on now. You're bucking now because everybody's hand ain't up. I don't know about you, but I bucked authority. I didn't like people. You can't tell me what to do. Who do you think you are? You can't make me. You're not the boss of me. We like to tell people, you know, you can't tell me what to do. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's not so in the house of God. God has a truth. And from that truth, He gives divine authority. And from that divine authority, there is safety. safety. Somebody say safety. Look at your neighbor and say, are you safe? Turn the other side and say, are you safe? If it's a wall, say, wall, why you standing there? Why you standing there? Many times we don't understand the power of authority because we think in terms of, you know, listen, I have the right. My relationship between me and God has nothing to do with the local church. Let me tell you something. If you're a believer, it has everything to do with the local church. We think that, hey, and I was guilty of this. My relationship is between me and God. Anybody ever heard somebody say something like that? Okay. They said, my relationship between me and God. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, no, no. The Bible says, be not like those who forsake the fellowship of believers. In other words, there are some that say, hey, my relationship between me and God, I stay at home. I don't go to church. You know, I got it at home. Listen to me. God never designed the believer to stand alone. Come on. You're not supposed to be standing alone. God puts you in a pack. A pack. Say a pack. We are a pack of lions. Come on, somebody. We scare off anybody coming after us. But when you have one little cub out there by himself, that's where the hyenas who like to laugh at you. They caught you outside of the pride. And they can capture the weakest of us. Because we say, I can do this by myself. You can't. God said that he established the church as the pillar of truth. Yes, we know there's a universal body of Christ. Yes, the church is the people. Yes, but in that church is structure. Because God gives authority to people that are under authority. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so critical that it was seen in evidence even in the Old Testament. I want you to take a look now. I want to kind of give you a little background. Joshua was a servant of Moses, followed him all the days that Moses was in ministry. Joshua was like his right-hand man, always stood by his side. Whatever Moses asked for him to do, he made sure that he got done. He wasn't striving for leadership. He just wanted to be a servant. And didn't Jesus say the greatest among us shall be what? The servant of all. Joshua was a servant of Moses. And whatever Moses did, he was right there by his side. But Moses made a mistake one day. One day, Moses hit a rock where God told him to speak to it. And he says, from now on, Moses, you're not going to make it into the promised land. So I need you to get the next level leader. How does a church determine who the next level leader is? You look for those under authority. It's not just, I have the gift, I have the talent. No, 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 no. Does God approve of your life? Come on, somebody. It's not just about how much money you give to the church or your name or your last name. I don't care if you look good and smell good. The question is, are you good? Do you know how to submit to authority without fighting the very ones God put over your life? When we talk about the laying on of hands, it is so important that we understand this, that there's always somebody God ordains as the leader, and their role is to hear from God and move in that direction. And God will put people around him under that authority to help him walk that out. Now, Joshua was one of those people. I want you to begin to read with me in verse 18. Let's read together. Go. Son of Nun, a man who is in. And what? And do what? In other words, this is the first time we see laying the hands on a next level leader. He says, this is a man, number one, in whom is the Spirit. Meaning that the same Spirit that was on Moses was on Joshua, in Joshua. Joshua said, I'm not trying to do things my way. I don't have an agenda. I don't have a goal. I don't have trying to make it mine, but I serve where you need me to serve. And God said, he got the spirit. That boy right there, he got what I'm talking about. He will serve wherever. He doesn't have an agenda. And God says, Joshua wasn't even looking for it. But God spoke up and said, get Joshua. And I want you to take him and lay your hands upon him. Why? Because God laid his hands on Moses. And the power that was on Moses can be transmitted by the laying on of the hands. Watch this. Look at verse 19 and 20. Let us read together. And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of Israel may be obedient. Go down to verse 23. Watch this. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him, and the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Okay, now watch this. Moses laid his hands on Joshua. So what? Can't we just lay hands on everybody and something happen? No, no, no. I want you first to understand God said it. Please hear me. There are times where people try to elevate themselves, but God didn't say to elevate yourself. A man of God, a true man of God, won't do it just because you want it. How many have ever been in a store with small children? Need I say more? Mama, I want some bubble gum. Mama, I'm so hungry. I feel like I'm going to die. Mama, Daddy, I want that toy, that toy, that toy. Give me the whole Walmart. I want it all. That happens. People say, hey, I want this. This is my title. This is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. But a true man of God and a true parent will never give them just because they ask. In the kingdom of God, God has to say it. And some people go, why have I been chosen? Because God didn't say it. That doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It just means that maybe he has something else for you. But you've got to trust your leadership, that if it isn't spoken, you trust that God is still speaking. Now watch this. I want to show you something. And he laid his hands on him and gave him a charge. Now, what were the results of laying his hands on him? I want you to go to Deuteronomy. Go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. This is what happened to Joshua after the laying on of hands. Watch this. This is God now. Joshua always listened to Moses. But when he laid his hands on him, all of a sudden, God started talking to Joshua. He started to hear God. Something really happens when you lay your hands on somebody under God's authority. Look what began to happen. God speaks these words to Joshua, and he starts at verse 5. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Wow. God said the same power, anointing, the same strength to be able to take your rod and hit the water and the waters part and you walk across on dry ground. I'm going to do the same with you, Joshua. And we see that when they got down to the River Jordan and they were stuck because the waters were flooding during that season of the year, that Joshua told the people, don't worry about it. As God was with Moses, he's with me. And he says, when your feet touch the edge of the water, God will split the water and cause it to come up on a heap and will walk across on dry ground. And when their feet touched the water, it split and the ground was dry and they walked into the promised land. Somebody say amen. Wow. A man of under authority can walk into promises because they did it God's way. Watch this. I love this. This is the reality that the laying on of the hands is God using a man that he has anointed, a man that he has called to be a leader, to then lay hands on another and impart a blessing. So when we're up here at the altar, and we begin to pray for people, don't think it's strange when we lay hands on you. Because it's imparting what's in us into you. Now, what does that mean? What I mean is it imparts the power of the Holy Spirit into your life. And if you're in need of healing, that's what happens. It's the laying on of hands. This happened in the same way, an impartation to the disciples. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. And let's take a look at what it says about the laying on of hands. Because Jesus did the same to his apostles, and let's see what happened with them. Watch this. And when he had called them unto them, his 12 disciples, he made a decision that I'm going to bless and set in the house of God, set in the body, a set leadership. And he called unto him his 12 disciples. Now, there were more disciples than that, a lot more. But he picked 12, and he gave them what? Power against what? To do what? And all manner of sickness and all manner. The reason we don't see enough healing today and miracles today is that we don't have enough disciples today. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I just said. The reason that we need more disciples is because you position yourself to be a man or woman under authority that God can trust. He took 12 out of all of those disciples. He had over 71 and even sometimes 3,000 people came and believed on him. But 12 he chose and he gave them power to do the work. Why? Because he can't do it all himself. See, I'm going to be honest with you. I need people that aren't people that are yes men. I need people that are Jesus men. Come on, somebody. I need leaders that won't look at a title, but look at the title maker. Come on, somebody. Somebody that is willing to go on their knees when nobody sees them and pray and get power and authority from him and come and blend in with the people and bless them. That's what the church needs. It doesn't need fake leaders. Come on, somebody. I don't need phonies. I need people that can get on the phone with God. Whew. Man, this is a great tragedy in the church today. Because everyone wants to either sit in the pew or sit on the stage. But what about going on your knees in that prayer closet and getting God? I need you to transition into disciples. That means this walk isn't about hearing a good message. It's about, do you do what the message says do? The whole Bible wasn't written as entertainment. Come on, did you hear what I just said? You know, despite the History Channel, the Bible is not entertainment. It's to be done. It's a recipe for action. And see, in the Bible, Jesus gave them all this manner of power to cast out unclean spirits and to heal all manner of sickness and manner of disease. And does it happen when you lay hands on somebody? I want you to open up your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts. To Acts chapter 3. And we're going to go to verse 1 through 3, and then we'll go to 5 through 10. Now I'm going to show you. Watch this. Now Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of PlayStation, at the hour of NFL, at the hour of the Golf Channel. No, they dedicated even an hour for prayer. See, listen, a true disciple is going to learn that prayer is critical to your development. And they found themselves walking to the temple at the hour of prayer. They were on their way to seek more of God. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have encounters with the Almighty, find your way walking to the church. Find your way on your way to hear more. Maybe you say, well, I'm too busy. No, you need to get in your schedule and make time to hear more of God's word, because it's going to change you. Watch this. They went to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Look at verse 2. And a certain man was lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. That was his job. That was his job. He was a lame man from birth. And so instead of trying to help him, they just put him there at the hour of prayer, because most people's hearts are tender because they're going to church. And he can get the most money at that hour. That's all he ever knew, how to get over on people. Watch this. Verse 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes, he looked at this man upon him, and John said, look at us. He said, look at me. Look at me. Stop looking down. Stop acting like there's no hope. Look at me. Lift up your eyes to the hills, which cometh your help. For my help is what? Of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Look at me. Look at me. For your breakthrough, you've got to take your eyes off your legs and take your eyes on your solution. Come on now. There are people that would prefer to be disabled and get a check every week than be healed and go and work. Come on. Look at me. Look at your neighbor and say, look at me. Mm-mm. Turn the other side and say, look at me. We've got to take our eyes off of what made us money and go take our eyes to what can make us whole. He says, look at us. And then look at verse 5. Watch this. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Oh, I got another customer. This is what I love about this. Go down in this verse. And then Peter said to him in verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. I just want you to underline that. I have. I have. What does Peter and John have? You remember when he called the 12? Those two were in the 12. And Jesus laid hands on them and said, you'll be able to cast out demons, lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed. So Peter, in his confidence and his understanding, said, such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Watch this. A man under authority has authority over sickness and disease. Watch this now. The power flows when you submit to the Jesus, the King. And when you come upon a man in need, that authority is in you. And you can say, take your eyes off your problem and put your eyes on me. Bestie. It ain't about you. It's about Jesus. Come on now. It's about Jesus. Ain't about you. It's about Jesus. All glory that goes to him. What about you? Why you say, look at me, look at me? That ain't biblical. Yes, it is. Listen. If God didn't anoint them, then it would not be biblical. But if he is their representative, if he anointed them with authority, they're not prideful. They're telling him the truth. Look at me. The world isn't used to that because we don't understand Christianity. I remember Paul looked at a person being healed and said, do you believe I can do this? Many people in the church would be like, who does he think he is? It ain't him, it's God. No, when you understand that he's a man under authority, he has no problem saying, do you believe I can do this? Today, I said, if you think I'm fake, you got an issue, come on up on the stage and I'll pray. So I came. God nailed it. Is she still here? Did he nail it? Amen. Now, Pastor Steve, it ain't about you. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because he anointed me to do this. So when I say, look at me, he's saying, look at me. So when I stand in his stead at this altar, there's power and authority on this altar. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of salvation. Do you understand? The reason we're able to do this is because his word anointed us, and it is the power of salvation. I can do a lot of stuff and say, look at me, but I don't take glory, because the minute God speaks to you, you don't think about me, you think about him. But I'm a man under authority. I sat under a man of God. I learned from him. I didn't desire position. I desired the word. And when I sat under that man for almost 14 years, I didn't have a title. He wouldn't give me one. And then God says, it's time to leave. I'm like, I ain't even got a title. And God came to him in the middle of the night, spoke to him in his basement and said, go and ordain my servant Stephen. He heard it audibly in his basement, shook him to his bones. He got up, talked to his overseer and said, this happened. His overseer said, you better do it. How many know when you are a servant, God sees you? You don't need to promote yourself. God will promote you. God is watching. How do I know this? For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro in all the earth, seeking those whose hearts are pure towards him, so he may show himself strong on their behalf. He's watching for someone. And so when that time came, and I'll never forget the day he laid hands on me. You know, I'll be honest with you. Guys, I need you to really understand this doctrine, because the only reason this matters is because it's really happening. It works. And I remember the day they called me to the altar and they said, Steve, we're going to ordain you because of the work that God called you to do. And I'm thinking I'm just going to go through a regular service. You know what I mean? You know, you get up there, they put your hand on you, go home, you eat dinner, and that's it. And I remember that day very well, because I remember standing at this altar, not this one, but the one there. And I remember when they laid their hands on me. And when they did, I felt electric power flow down in my body. I'm going to tell you what it felt like. It felt like plugging me into one of those. How many were foolish kids like me and put your finger in an electrical socket? I mean, amen. Lord, praise the Lord. Y'all remember to this day, right? Well, I remember that day. Watch this. It was like I was plugged into an electrical socket and power flowed, but no pain. And I'm going, I'm like, oh, and I'm starting to realize why when you see people on the altar and they go, oh, and they fall down. And I used to laugh at them. Look at them. Oh, boom, and they fall. Look at them. They look so silly. They don't need to do all that. God don't need to do all that. And here I am. I said, this is real. When they laid their hands on me, the power was real. And when I walked out of that altar, walked away, I began doing things I couldn't do before because of the laying on of the hands. Ladies and gentlemen, only God can do these kind of things. In a world where there are so many religions and so many choices for what you should believe, our God is the only one that says, if you believe on me, I will manifest myself to you. The only God in all of the universe, of all the religions I've ever studied, the only one who said, I'm not going to be afar off. I'll come and I'll prove myself to you in such a way you will never be able to deny it. And in the church, he has authority he gave to his disciples. And when they looked at the man at the gate, he says, get up and walk. Look at what happened next. Verse 7. Let's see what the results of it was. Everyone read. Go. Wow. Let me show you something. He'd been sitting. People had to what? Carry him. His legs, his muscles, and his bones were brittle and weak and probably flopped around like a fish. But not when a man under authority who was appointed with power by the laying on of hands grabbed the same man. That power then became what? Imparted. Look at this. He took him by the right. Do you see? He grabbed him and the hands were laid upon him and he lifted him up and immediately feet and ankle bones received strength. Read the next verse. What happened to the man? Everyone read. Woo, woo. That's the result of a man. Two men who are under authority and allow the laying of hands to come upon their life. Ladies and gentlemen, when we do this, we call it the presbytery. It means those who anoint or lay hands on others. They are done in the Old Testament by elders. There was in the beginning of the church, it was such a serious deal that one of the early church fathers by the name of Ignatius wrote these words. And I'm going to read it to you what he said about divine order. He said this, I exhort you, and he's talking to the congregation, I exhort you to study to do all things with divine harmony. I want you to do everything in the church and focus on harmony with one another. While your bishop presides, watch this, the bishop, the word bishop means overseer, which also means pastor. See, there was only two offices in the Bible, deacon and elders. Deacon and elders. And sometimes the elders, it was a synonym for an elder, meaning a bishop. So someone who was the ultimate overseer of a congregation, that would be somebody like me. And he says this. Watch what he says. He says, I exhort you to study, to do all things with divine harmony while your pastor presides in the place of God and your presbyters in the place of the assembly of the apostles along with your deacons. Wow. What does that mean? It means that God anointed this church with leadership. and that my role is to be his representative in this body. But there are presbyters, meaning other elders, that are the presbyters of our church. I call them Rocky and John and Richard. All of these three men are elders, served in the body of Christ many years before they came to Frontier Church. They are ones who lay hands upon you, and they've been appointed to do so. And then we have deacons, ministers in our church that serve the people, and they've been anointed as well. But there are miracle things that happen when you receive the blessing of God. Let me read on what he said about divine order. He who does anything apart from the bishop, presbyters, and the deacons, such a man is not pure in conscience. Whenever we go outside the leadership of the body, we can have our consciences no longer clear. Because God set an order in the house of God because he's trying to pour out a blessing for the house of God. But there's people he anoints, and then they anoint the next level, and the blessing just keeps going and going and going. I want to go on and show you. See, God has to ordain a person in this position. They have to be approved by heaven. Somebody say heaven. Watch this. I want to show you this. I can't just get up on a pulpit and say, I'm the pastor and God's going to use me. No, God has to appoint me here. I can't just show up and say, I'm going to start a church and God ain't called me to do that. No. He positions me and he anoints me to be able to produce what I'm doing so that the church can grow. But a man has to be appointed and anointed by God. You can't be an imposter. Where you are in a church where there is no power, you probably have an imposter. Did y'all hear what I just said? When you are in, I don't care where you are, in America or any other church, you want that church to have the anointing of God, the power of God flowing in the church so that the miracles, signs, and wonders can happen. That shows you God approves of that body and there's a set order. Now, watch this. God has to ordain a person. But only one with power and authority can transmit power and authority. What happens if you try to do it and you don't have it? Y'all want to read what happens? Y'all want to see what happens? This is going to be fun. Y'all ready? This is real. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 19. Starting in verse 13, this is the story of seven men who took authority. They stole it or tried to hijack it. Now, let me give you the background. Here's Paul, the apostle, that is anointed of God, called to be an apostle, anointed by the heavens. And he anoints elders in every city that he goes to, or presbyters. And he's going around preaching, and he, because the anointing is on his life, he's casting out devils. He's doing all these manner of things. But watch this. Watch this. They see him and want what he has. But God didn't give it to them. Let's see what happens. This is fun. Go to verse 13. Man, look at the time. Oh, my goodness. Is that time right? Man, we got to go. Guys, we got to go. All right, I'm going to do this, and then we go, and then just come back next week, and we finish the rest. Watch this stuff. You can't make this up. This is incredible. Watch this. Okay, so they see Paul, right? They're all envious because they think, well, God, you know, I can do it. Someone that doesn't fall under authority and they take people away from authority, then it dies on the vine. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You can't do anything without me. You can't build a church unless the Lord build the house. They that labor to build it in vain. And these seven brothers did the same thing. Watch this. Verse 11. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, meaning they were exorcists. They were like, oh, we can do what they, we're exorcists. Took upon themselves. Say it again. Took upon them. Watch that. Took upon them. Meaning they weren't appointed and they weren't anointed. They took upon themselves to do something. Watch this. I love this. To call over to them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus. They say, this whole row full of demons right here. Sorry, guys. These right here. Right? And he said, we're going to cast all. No, no. We're going to cast all these demons out. Come on over here, demons. Come on. We're going to show you who we are. We're the seven vagabonds. And he called them over to himself. Look what happened. Saying, we adjure you. Got their hands on them. We adjure you by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Wait a minute. How are you going to talk about Jesus in the third party? How are you going to do that? You playing telephone with Jesus. What? We adjure you by Paul, by his Uncle Jude, by his sister Sally, by Paul, Jesus, whom Jesus preaches. What? What are you talking about? You can't do that. They saw Paul doing it. They said, okay, by the same Jesus that Paul preaches, we cast you out. The most famous phrase in the Bible came after that. Verse 14. And there were seven sons, both of them of Sceva, a Jew, a chief priest. They'd been around church all their life and thought that entitled them to do what they were doing because they're around church. Being around church don't put church in you. Hello, somebody. You got to pay the price to be anointed. You got to pray, seek the Lord, and then let somebody other than yourself validate you. Let the leadership say, man, you're a man of God. You're a woman of God. And when they lay their hands on you, God will approve it. But look at these brothers. Look what happened in verse 15. And, everybody read with me. And the evil spirit answered and said. Stop right there. They should have ran right there. You know, they should have, when he opened his mouth, they should have booked right there. Deuces, I'm out. Here's what happened. And the evil spirit, now watch it. He answered, meaning he was listening the whole time. They're going, and we cast you out by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Come out. And they're like, uh-huh. Okay, okay. All right. Now, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Oh, my, my. Man, I bet they wish they had Nike then, baby. They would have put them shoes on. All right, all seven, go. And they would have been, go. I don't know you. And then watch this. He didn't waste no time. The minute he said that, look at the next verse. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame seven brothers, and prevailed against all seven, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Boom, boom, now you think you clothed in righteousness? Give me those clothes. Give me them drawers. Give me that thing. Give it. You think you somebody? I'm going to shame all y'all. All y'all. You better be under authority to get that kind of authority. Somebody say amen. Naked and wounded. Ladies and gentlemen, those are two sad words to end today's message. For when a person does not have the hands laid upon them try to take up that which God has not approved. They are naked and wounded. Many, many wounded people try to do things they're not appointed to. And they don't even understand they're naked. Fall under a church. Fall under authority. Trust that God's Spirit is here. God isn't playing church. God really does move in this earth today. And you must honor your leadership, honor your elders, honor the local body, your deacons. For they aren't just men that are just coming off the street. God has anointed them and approved them to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to command miracles, signs, and wonders. God is involved. But if you're a leader, stay under authority. Stay under authority. And don't end up on the back end of a devil's taunt, leaving you naked and wounded. Come back. Get back in your place. Come under authority and let the power of God do it. You don't have to do a thing. He will do it all. How many believe that? Let's give God a great hand clap of praise.